This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Here with the morning run, Julian Ng, Lin Mark and Charles Abdullah with you. On the ECRL, it looks like the government has wrangled yet another concession out of China, who will pay for half of the operational costs through a 50-50 JV. And this JV is between the China state-owned China Communications Construction Company, otherwise known as CCCC, and the Malaysian Rail Link.
Yes, so this is apart from reducing the East Coast Rail Link construction cost by 21.5 billion ringgit yesterday. The government revealed this 50-50 joint venture with Malaysia Rail Link and China CCCC. And I believe we have a clip from Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad explaining.
CCCC will provide technical support and share the operational risk after the project's completion. This arrangement will ease the financial burden on Malaysia, which previously was to bear the entire cost of the operation and maintenance.
Yeah, he also added that the CCCC has agreed to refund part of the 3.1 billion advance payment that was made. So the fund was paid in two phases, in phase two, the double tracking and the northern extension under the original contract. So he adds a loan reduction is still being sought after. So here's a clip from Tun M on this.
The reduced amount is still being negotiated with China Exim Bank, and we foresee that this will result in lessening the financial burden of the government in terms of the principal repayment amount, total interest costs, and also other fees.
And that was Prime Minister Dr. Mahathir Mohamad commenting on the cost savings of the ECRL. The 1 billion will also be refunded within a month after 12 April 2019 and the balance to be settled within 3 months.
So there was an op-ed written on this subject by P. Gunasegaram, who's a frequent guest of the Pressing Matters show. And he previously noted that even with a 20 billion ringgit reduction in the price of the ECRL, it still won't make the project feasible because the project's viability is dependent on a huge anticipated jump in cargo traffic via the transshipment of cargo bound mainly to and from China between Port Klang and Kuantan under the anticipated Belt and Road Initiative, and this would potentially reduce the time for shipments because the ships don't have to go around the peninsula. But in the article last week, Soguna noted that even this is not proven to be viable and there are no indications of projected cargo or the time and money that would be saved by the laborious process of offloading at Port Klang and then loading again at Kuantan and vice versa.
And also, I think there's also the question whether, what if Thailand were to cut channel to provide a link between the Indian Ocean and the South China Sea. So, you know, that could potentially spell the end of the ECRL project as well.
Yeah, this is very interesting. There's the Kra Isthmus, which is sort of a cut through the narrowest part of the peninsula. I think this was an idea of even almost very romantic idea that's been proposed off and on again in Thailand. I think it's off right now because of the huge costs of cutting that through. But if Thailand did that, I mean, it would just not kill off only the ports in Malaysia, but also Singapore as well. So it's actually very threatening. This is a huge project. But I don't think that it will go ahead in the short term. Also, Gunnar looked at the financial performance of KTM, which is a double track. And we're still not sure whether the ECRL is single or double right at this point in time, but a double track KTM is not making enough profits as well. Nothing much to show for here. So it doesn't point a very optimistic picture about the financial survivability of the ECRL.
We've also seen some reactions to the ECRL's resumption. Academics particularly have welcomed the move, saying that the reduction in cost would lighten the country's debt burden and boost the economy. So Professor Dr. Amiruddin Ismail of the Smart and Sustainable Township Research Centre, Sutra, of the Department of Civil and Structural Engineering of UKM, he said that the project would open up new areas of development along the new routes, so Mentakab, Jelebu and Kuala Kelawang. it would be a godsend for people in those areas in terms of job opportunities in the construction sector. Others have also said that the ECRL will now be the backbone of development of states such as Kelantan, Terengganu, Pahang, and Negeri Sembilan, and I guess because these states have historically not seen as much connectivity as we get here in the West.
So yeah, going a bit sidetracked, I think now that we see the name Negeri Sembilan, the state Negeri Sembilan is in the list. Previously, they were questioned whether or not it was used as a election sort of goodie for Rantau. I mean, that was circulating.
Yeah, it was
around.
Rerouting because otherwise you would have to go through the mountain range of Titi Wangsa, right? And that would be certainly more costly, but rerouting it would use existing infrastructure and not having to plow through that mountain range.
Yeah, at the same time, I think is that intention for it to pass by Putrajaya as well. I think that's one of the things Tun Mahathir has also added when at the press conference about this ECRL. And, one way is, as you mentioned, through Negeri Sembilan and up. And so one more response as well is coming from Master Builders Association Malaysia. They've said that, there's hope to ensure local contractors to get full packages of the ECRL project instead of sub-labour work, only to further elevate the, builders' gain in 2019.
Okay, in other news, Penang wants to build three man-made islands.
Yeah, so the cost of these islands has not been revealed yet. The tender process is expected to be held in the third quarter of this year, with construction to begin in 2020 and last for about 6 years. Now, the plan is to raise 70 billion ringgit from projects on the new islands. And out of that 70 billion, around 46 billion will be used for construction of a 9 billion ringgit LRT line, construction of a 9.6 billion ringgit pan-island link, as well as other supporting infrastructure projects under the Penang Transport Master Plan.
So, I mean, looking at the price of the land, so depending on whether the land is leasehold or freehold, they're looking at the current price of industrial land would be priced around 70 to 200 ringgit per square foot. So when the reclamation starts in 2020, 10% appreciation could be possible, and the island probably would be sold through an open tender process.
So how crazy is this? Because we've seen Forest City that was proposed down south, and Penang wants also to build their own islands. Too expensive, ecological disaster.
Yeah, and at the same time, remember how, the Forest City down south, when it was opened, the idea was the target audience were people from China, and then that became an issue as well. And how is this going to, next Penang, how is this, whether or not we're going to see any parallel, whether the same issue is going to arise? Because at the end of the day, all this development, high expensive development, is all going to be affordable only for people who are from abroad.
But what about the environmental impact, right? I'm looking forward to looking at the EIA as well.
It's not just the environmental impact, the impact on the environment, as it is a livelihood issue as well, because there have been responses from fishermen, so residents from small fishing villages on Penang's southern coast. Now, they've said that this proposed project would destroy their livelihoods because these fishermen don't have access to big trawlers for deep-sea fishing, and if the reclamation projects go through, then they would lose their access to offshore fishing. But then Penang Exco, the Penang State Executive Council Councillor Dr. Afif Baharuddin, has also come out to refute that, to say that fishermen will be given priority in business and entrepreneurial opportunities. So I think it's a little bit of a toss-up at the moment how they are going to address this issue.
Yeah, I think the point about the class system that's being brought up is the fact that this are going to be top-notch real estate property, which will be only affordable to the rich. I'm wondering whether there would be a better policy to promote mainland Penang as the residential area, as the next phase of development. I mean, you've got IKEA there, which is supposedly one of the busiest IKEAs in the world, right? Why not develop in that surrounding area? There would be a demand for that instead of just churning out high-class abodes for rich people. All right, coming up to the 7:30 news, and after that, a look at China's GDP, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.